Welcome to the Let's Talk BS podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Sophia, and we're coming to you live from the
757, where we discuss real estate,
culture, and current events.
Hey, good morning, Sophia. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I feel like this week has flew by. I don't know about you, but I feel like the week has flown by for me.
No, not so much.
Not so much for you? Mm-mm. Yeah. I feel like every day I've had something going on. And, you know, that's normally when the week flies by is when you got a lot going on. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. But how was your week? I guess last weekend and up to this point. How was it?
It was pretty cool.
What'd you do?
I'm trying to think. Oh, my gosh. I feel like these weekends are starting to become a blur.
Oh.
So I think, did I talk about Chuck E. Cheese? No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I couldn't think of it was this past weekend or the weekend before that, but we took the kid, I took Carter to Chuck E. Cheese because that was his reward for actually playing in the football game.
Yeah.
So he actually got out there and played. I mean, he didn't play defense. He kind of stood around because he was like, I don't want to hurt my friends. That's what he told me. Okay. I was like, what? But he did attempt to play. So afterwards, we went to Chuck E. Cheese, me and a couple friends and their kids. And we hung out, got pizza, played games. We didn't even finish using all of the tokens.
Mm-hmm.
But I won one of those, like, bouncy balls from the little claw thing. Yeah. So he was satisfied. And we left there, came home. I did my kid's hair, like washed it, conditioned it, you know, that type of stuff.
I see your hair looks like it was done recently too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I went to a new girl. I think her business name is Tailored Beauty or something about Tailored.
Okay.
And she did a good job. She really did. I got a steam treatment and I got a scalp treatment.
Okay.
Which is crazy because it's like this wand that sends like electrical shocks to your scalp when you comb. Yeah. And I guess it's supposed to stimulate hair growth.
Okay.
So, yeah. Because that's what I was.
It sounded like that was your first time doing something
like
that? It was.
Okay. It was my very first time. So, yep, did that. On Sunday, we went to a birthday party at the skating ring.
Okay.
So I was skating. That was fun. It had been a while since I had gone skating, but the unfun part of it all was my skates. So I have a custom pair of skates, and I had gotten a flat tire last Thursday, right before the podcast. And so when I got the flat tire, I was in a loaner car. And my skates were in my in the trunk of my car. And so I had already left a couple things in the trunk that I had gone back to get. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't about to make another trip to go back and get the skates. So I had to wear the skating ring skates, which I don't really like doing, but I did it.
Gotcha. Is there a noticeable difference between your skates and the skating ring skates? Like, is there... Other than the look, I mean, does it feel different?
So, yes, mines are more cushioned in the inside.
Okay, yeah, probably less worn, right? I'm assuming probably part of that.
And, but as far as, like, the wheels, the guy who works there, he does a really good job at keeping up with the wheels and making sure that they're balanced.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of skating rings don't really do that.
Okay.
But the guy who works there did. When I got my skates, he balanced out my wheels and, you know, did all of those things for me. So
that's what's up.
Yeah, it was cool. And then I'm trying to think. Monday, I had a closing. Tuesday, my friend's daughter, it was eighth grade night. So we went to her last home game for volleyball. Okay. And we showed up in a big way. So she got t-shirts made for everybody. And so we all had like a t-shirt on, and it was probably about 20 plus of us.
Okay, that's what's up.
And it was so funny because she was kind of embarrassed, but you know, a lot of the teachers were like, oh, this is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a crowd with all the same shirt on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
That's what's up.
And then Wednesday, I got my hair done. And then yesterday, I actually attended a, it was like, it's called Think Like a Boss. And it was Sound Mind and Money. Mm-hmm. And so what they discussed was entrepreneurship and mental health and how finances can directly affect your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was cool just kind of listening to them speak.
Who's them? Who was these people?
So it was a meeting that was, established or it was made by Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated.
Okay.
And so they brought in a panel to speak or discuss on this.
Mm-hmm.
I was invited as a panelist, mm-hmm. but my niece, she just recently got her master's she's a therapist. And so I asked her to take my place so she could talk more about the mental health side of it.
Okay.
I could have talked about the finances, but she had been telling me that she wanted to join more speaking engagements and get better at speaking publicly.
Okay.
And I don't really care to speak publicly. I think at 36, I'm setting my ways in a way.
Nah, you can grow. You can change that. But,
I mean, it has to be a want, right?
Yeah.
So
was she? Is this like a local thing? Was this like on Zoom or something?
This is on Zoom.
Oh, okay. All
yeah. Right. So there was people.
That's,
from
and that's Zoom too, Sophie. You can do a Zoom.
The country.
You can do a Zoom meeting. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a step in the direction of public speaking. You know what I mean? Like I don't even consider speaking on Zoom public speaking. Like, I don't know. Yes, it's me. You know what I mean? Public speaking to me, you got to actually be in the room with the people.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know. But
that's I understand. Yep. Yeah. But, yeah, so it was a good meeting. They talked about a lot of different things. I remember being on the call on the Zoom because I wanted to see what they were discussing. And so I was on there and I just remember, like, every time they asked a question, I was like, oh, I can answer that. Oh, shoot, I can't answer it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool.
Yeah, look at it you. Holding yourself back, man. You know
not
I mean?
Really. I okay. mean, that's just that's my preference. I don't
okay.
I don't care to speak amongst a crowd. I will teach a crowd.
Yeah.
Because I teach
but
classes.
But the thing about it, see, the way
but
I look
I don't,
at it.
I don't speak from the top of mind in front of people well because I get nervous, I start stuttering, like it's different.
Yeah, but if you got the information, I think that's the part that a lot of times, because I'm like that too. You know, I know you say I talk well in front of people and all that, but I get nervous. I mean, it's a normal emotion. I mean, everybody does that mm-hmm. speaks in front of people. But when you have a wealth of knowledge and information,
mm-hmm.
I always look at that's what I always end up, you know, tricking myself, I guess, every time I speak in front of people is I'll mm-hmm. say, hey, you know, at the end of the day, I have some information that I think could really help some folks out there. You know what I mean? So that takes precedent of, you know, my feeling of being nervous or being scared about it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
To each his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was your week?
My week was good. Like I said, it seemed like it's flowing by. I feel like every day, it seemed like, every day you had something going on for the most part, too.
But it was kind of, for me, it wasn't all day stuff. It was just like, hey, here's an event, like a volleyball game. An hour and a half
true.
In my day, you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
The seminar that I went to that I attended last night was an hour and a half, and I literally was like headphone in my earpiece in my ear, braiding my daughter's hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it really wasn't much that I did like throughout the whole day.
Gotcha. Understood. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And my weekend was good. Like you said, you know, our sons play on the same football team. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the weekend pretty much kicked off with their football game. They won again, which was really good. My son scored his first touchdown of the year. So that was cool to see him do that. Your son, I saw he had a nice run too. He could have scored, man. And my man Flags fell off. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a video of that too. I got to send the video to you. I got a video of that too.
Yeah, it was like, because he didn't even know that the flags had fell off. Yeah. So I'm assuming that it just wasn't clipped on properly.
Probably, yeah.
Whomever clipped it didn't clip it securely. So as he was running, it was like he ran about the flags or whatever. And it was funny because one of the dads on the sideline was like, man, I feel like that should be a touchdown. Wasn't nobody behind you.
Yeah.
But he didn't get it, so.
Yeah, but nah, he did. Like you said, he definitely did a lot better, man. I was happy to see, you know, like I said, him out there playing and doing, you know, doing well. So that was dope. So then, yeah, so Saturday, you know, started off with the football game. And then my daughter's birthday was earlier that week. So that Saturday, we actually did her birthday party. It's funny, at Chuck E. Cheese, just like what you mentioned as well. So we had her birthday party there. And it was cool because we tried to, you know, we tried to make it where it was a lot of her classmates come. That's what we invited mostly. We had like outside, you know, people that like our friends that have kids that are close to her age. And that's typically who we have at birthday parties. But, you know, we wanted to kind of have it more with people that she actually hangs out with on a day to day basis that she has, you know, I would say further relationships with and friendships with. So that was pretty cool. You know, they really enjoyed her. You know, everybody came out. It was really good time. You know, my parents came out, Brooks did as well. You know, my son, he was trying to run around and trying to be the lead, like if the spotlight was on him when it was on his little sister. So that was pretty funny. We learned a whole bunch of, because you know how they do it as far as like the birthday stuff, they give you a card and it's like unlimited for like 2 hours. So, you know, I was playing games with Sloan and, you know, my son, Brooke, everybody was playing games, my dad, my mom and all that. And so she ended up getting like a whole bunch of presents, like not just her birthday presents, but just like, I think she ended up having like 5,000 points. So we ended up getting like 8 or 9 different, prizes, I guess you can say. And that was pretty cool. Like I haven't been to Chuck E. Cheese in a long time. So the last time I went, you still had like the actual tickets, you know what I mean? So they have everything on an actual card now,
like, or a wristband.
Yeah. So I feel like that's, you know, brought up to modern times, make things a lot, you know, a lot easier, you know, when it comes to that checkout process.
So did she only have unlimited tickets or the whole?
Everybody did.
Oh, yeah,
everybody,
nice.
Everybody did. Yeah. So everybody got unlimited tickets during the 2 hour window that we were there for. The birthday party was from 12:30 to 2:30. Yeah. So that was cool. Got the cake from Sweet Cream. Shout out to Sweet Cream. Cake was great. Got so much praise. It was funny because typically, like when I've been a part of birthday parties, like, you know, the parents be like, oh, you know, I'll get a piece or whatever. Man, the parents kept going back. They kept asking us, like, is it okay if I get another one? Is it okay? Can I bring one home to my husband or my spouse? Like, it was like people was filling the cake. So shout out to Sweet Cream. The cake was really, really good.
I haven't gotten cake from there in years.
Yeah. The cake was really, really good. And so, so that was Saturday afternoon. Then also on Sunday was my mother's birthday. So we went out to dinner for my mom's birthday that Saturday night to a place called Harper's Table. We've been to a couple of times out in Suffolk. Mm-hmm. So that was really good as well. You know, we ate, had food, had drinks, you know, got to celebrate my mother. She turned 62. So she's getting up there. She's retiring later this year. So we were talking about that. And my dad, he's already retired for the second time. So, you know, he's pretty much said he's waiting on my mom. So she's getting ready to retire as well. So I'm excited for them as well. But one of the big things that happened this weekend was my sister. Mm-hmm. So my little sister went to her roommate from college had her Dirty 30 celebration out in Vegas. And my sister has never been to Vegas before. So she had hit me up earlier that week, asked me about like all the places to go, places she should check out while she's out there. Uh-huh. And so I kind of gave her the rundown because I've been, probably like 4 or 5 times just in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she ended up getting proposed to.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah,
so she's had a boyfriend now for 2.5 years. His name is Wes. Okay. And they've had a really good relationship. I have nothing really, you know, to say, you know, as far as the big brother approval on it. But they, you know, he popped a question out there right in front of the Bellagio, right where the big water fountains are, where they've had, you know, timeless movies and things that you've seen, you know, right there in that area. And he proposed to her. My sister said she was shocked. She didn't know what was happening. So it was cool, man. It was funny because actually that Saturday, when I was headed to the birthday party, you know, taking my daughter and the family to the birthday party, we have a family group text. And I'm driving down the road. I'm driving down Battlefield. Everybody knows who's from this area. You know, Battlefield is a main road in Chesapeake, you know, kind of connects a lot of the streets or whatever. So I'm driving down Battlefield headed to Chuck E. Cheese. And then Brooke, she's in, the passenger seat. And she's like, oh, my gosh, because text messages start popping. She's like, oh, my gosh, And I'm thinking like something like happened, like bad. Like she, the way she said it, it was like almost like, I don't know. I thought like maybe somebody got hurt or something like that or whatever. And she was like, hold on, Brian. And she showed me her phone and it was just my sister holding her hand up with a ring. And I almost crashed. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like I had to like, literally, I was like, my heart like stopped. Like it was crazy. Like my heart stopped and I was like, oh, Battlefield. I had to turn into the turning lane. Even though I didn't have to turn anywhere. I was going straight shot down Battlefield. I had to turn like, and like reset. Like it was crazy because I wasn't expecting that. You know what I mean? I knew that she's been in a relationship. So, you know, I knew that it was a possibility, right? But I just wasn't expecting her to get proposed to. And still, man, I tell everybody, I'm still tripped out that my little sister drives. Like, I that's how the type of big brother I am. You know what I mean? Like, my sister's about to turn 30 here next in June. So she's older. You know what I mean? She's getting up there. So this is the time that that thing would happen as far as being proposed to. But shout out to them, you know, her getting proposed and, you know, their, you know, union that'll be coming up here soon.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Exciting. Yeah, I'm excited about that. So that was kind of the big news coming out the weekend. You know, obviously we celebrated both of those.
We had a lot of, everybody had news. Yeah. Mom birthday, mom birthday, sister engaged.
Yep. So it's exciting times in the Royster household. Yeah. So.
Oh, and I seen a Royster doing a seminar for.
Danica.
Is that your family?
I think so. So okay. Funny story about that is I remember I had went to Cavell, shout out to my buddy Cavell. Mm-hmm. I went to his 40 under 40 celebration. Mm-hmm. And one of the people who actually received an award that night was her, was Danica Royster.
Okay.
And so it was funny because my buddy Jeremy Mason, who actually was there that weekend or that day, mm-hmm. he was like, yo, you need to holler at her because y'all have the same last name. Y'all might be family.
Yeah.
And so I went up, we talked, we were kind of catching up and her father was right there. And her father actually looks like some lineage of my dad's side of the family, which is the Royster side of the family. And so me and the dad started talking. My man, he was like a walk-in like Wikipedia, man. He had like all of the information about the Royster family. He was telling me about certain land that is still left to like all of these Roysters. And he was going back all the way to like the mid 1800s. And I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? So
that's how older people are though.
Yeah, man. He was dropping knowledge, man. He was like, yeah, well, we did this. And, you know, I have an uncle and this, my grand great grandfather. I'm like, man, like, all I can really go back in my mind is my grandparents. Like, I don't really like I remember my grandparents talking about their parents, but I never met them. You know what I'm saying? Like my parents, my grandparents had my parents when they were older. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't, you know, that generation is the further generation that I'm aware of and that I actually know and seen and all that or whatever outside like pictures from, you know, their parents. Mm-hmm. But it was cool just to kind of connect with him. But yeah, I don't know if we're related, but I kind of feel like we probably are somewhere down the line, mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, so that's her. But yeah, this week also has been pretty busy. I had a couple of closings this week. Myself, I had a closing on Tuesday. I played golf on, what was it, Tuesday as well. I guess my buddy Shao. He actually got me this time, which is crazy because I typically beat him. but he actually got me this time. He was talking a lot of junk. So I might have to get some get back against him. Let me take a step back. Sunday, my brother-in-law came over. So that was pretty cool. I hadn't seen him in a while. He actually recently moved to Richmond. So he came back. He came over to kind of, you know, say happy birthday to Sloan.
I had to put two and two together. When you said brother-in-law, I really had to think about those.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, Brooks' brother. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, Brooks' brother. He came by and, you know, and you know, gave Sloan a gift. And we kind of, you know, kicked it and chilled or whatever that weekend. I cooked on the grill as well on Sunday. So that was good. You know, the kids love when I cook on the grill. The weather was really good this weekend, too. So, you know, I'm loving this time of the year when it comes to the weather. Let me see. Then, like I said, this week I played golf, had a couple of closings. My kids didn't have school on Thursday, yesterday. So we went to Busch Gardens, which was really fun.
They had school today, though.
Yeah, they had school today. It was just one day they didn't have school. Yeah. So they had school. They didn't have school yesterday. So we went to Busch Gardens, which that was really fun because we went, as I mentioned before, and I know you did too, the same day. We went during spring break. So it was really packed. You know what I mean? I don't think it was too bad as far as getting on rides and stuff. It was like a 25 to 30 minute wait pretty much for most of the rides. But yesterday, it wasn't nobody there. They had like some private schools that were there. You could tell they had like school buses and stuff. They had brought kids there. But I mean, literally, it was not very many people. So we rode on rides back to back to back. I mean, I rode on, you know, 10 rides. I mean, it was
cool. And you were the only person on the roller coaster?
One time there was just me and one other person. But outside of that.
See, I don't like that. I would be scared. I feel like the roller coaster needs weight for people. Like, if it's too iffy, I just feel like it's.
It's just gonna fall over.
Come right off the tracks.
Nah. It won't like that, man. But I can understand why you feel that way. But nah, it was cool. Like, there was a couple of times where I was on a ride, like I was on Apollo's chair in Alpengeist, and I rode through the ride. And it was like, and the crazy thing was, because normally when I go to, you know, the Busch Gardens or go to, you know, amusement parks like that, I normally don't get a chance to get on the front of the ride because that line is longer because there's so many people who try and want to get on the front of the ride. So this time, every ride I got on, I was on the front row every single time. And so it was cool because a couple of rides like Apollo's Chariot, Alpengeist, and even the Griffin, like it went through. I rode the ride. I was in the very front row. And then once we got back to the front, they were like, you want to ride it again? We were like, yeah, you know, it was a couple of us, you know, in the front row or whatever. And so we were riding rides back to back. We just didn't even get off of them until we just, you know, felt like we wanted to get off. So, yeah, shout out to that, man. I love the, I was telling Brooke, I was like, you know, next year I got to scout out some more days where it's like that, where they have, because my kids are in public school. So, like, days where it's like, you know, maybe they're out of school for, like, a teacher work day or whatever. And it's not the same lined up with public schools. You know, it was empty. Like, it was perfect. It was cool. So, kids had a really, really good time when it comes to that. Got ice cream and pizza and all that good stuff while we were out there. And then I was tired, man. I ain't gonna lie. I got home. I picked up some work, you know, that I've kind of missed throughout the day yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was exhausted. I don't even know what time I went to sleep. It might have been right around 8 o'clock or even before 8 o'clock. I was really, really tired.
Sounds like a lot. Because you had to drive there, drive back. All day in the park. That's kind of like what I did.
Yeah. And yesterday was like probably the max temperature. Like, it was like 82 degrees out there yesterday.
It got to a point where it was kind of hot for a second.
Yeah. So it was like the perfect, like, the temperature where, like, I feel like if it was a couple more degrees, I'd have been like, I don't know. But, you know, it was like that perfect degree. It was a perfect, beautiful day. Like I said, no rain, sunny. And like I said, we got to do everything, like really, literally everything we wanted to do. We had to pick up the litter. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was my week.
That's good. Yeah. So jumping into some things that we've seen in the market, did you see some of the articles? Jerome Powell came out and spoke and said that based on how inflation is going, we're nowhere near the 2% benchmark that they want us to be when it comes to inflation. Yeah. And so that definitely directly affected the interest rates that day.
It did.
They didn't do so well.
Nah,
so
not rates here. Rates jumped up. I think it was like two. Was that Tuesday? I want to say it was. I feel like it was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I don't even think it was Wednesday. I feel like it was earlier in the week. It was like, because we got some.
I'm trying to.
We rallied a couple of days. I feel like Wednesday we had. We were like, you know, rates had gotten better the next day after that.
Well, it went bad. Monday was bad. Mm-hmm. Tuesday I think got better, and then it just went bad from there.
Gotcha.
And from what I saw, because I remember logging in to MBS Highway. That's what it was. And usually on this platform that we use to kind of track rates, it'll just come up and it'll show us if we're in the red or in the green.
Yeah.
Obviously, red means rates have gotten worse. Green means it's getting better.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't even come on the screen. It was just straight to this article about Jerome Powell. So it was definitely something that they wanted to bring to the forefront and have people really read to see what was going on.
Yeah.
And it just directly affected the market.
Yeah.
I have someone now that that's floating, and we have to determine what when we're gonna lock this rate. Yeah. Ooh, that scared the hell out of me. I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, so did you see anything outside of what I just mentioned?
I saw that as well. I didn't have any rates. Like, honestly, I don't have very many loans lined up for May. I got two lined up for May, and both of them are locked already. One is closing early May, and the other one is closing like mid-May, and we locked that the week before on a 45-day lock. So, nice. Yeah, I haven't had to lock any rates. I don't have any thing going when it comes to that part of it. But I did see exactly what Sophia just mentioned when it comes to, you know, the negative impact that we had for rates. It's crazy, man. Like, I know, you know, they're trying to get down to 2%, you know, for the inflation number. I don't know, man. I think it's going to be very hard to get there, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, they pivot. I know everybody keeps hoping that, but it sounds like they staying firm to what they're going to do, you know, as far as we want to see that 2% number or be very close to it before they start doing rate cuts. And, you know, it seems like now that just keeps pushing back the window of when the rates are going to, the Fed rate's going to start being cut. So I don't know. I don't know, man. We'll see. You know, just weird times that we're in right now, you know. Yeah. So we'll see, you know, on the day-to-day, month-to-month, I'm just kind of, you know, hoping and praying for the best, but we'll see what happens, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have someone now who they're in a situation where they have an opportunity to buy this home, but they're renting it.
Okay.
And the sellers are willing to wait.
Okay.
For rates to go down. Mm-hmm. But when I spoke to them, you know, I just had to really be real with them. I said, okay, well, you said that you want to wait for rates to go down. What if they don't?
Yeah.
And it had them stuck. Like, they didn't even know how to respond to that question because...
Yeah, everybody always looks at the good in a situation, right?
Correct.
But a lot of times, you got to look at the reverse of that. You know what I mean?
Because it's not always going to be... Yeah, you got to be able to live with both ends of the stick.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, it's a real thing because, you know, people think it's just like one side. Like, hey, rates have been going up. That just because they've been going up, that means that they have to go down, which that's not true. You know what I mean? They could continue to go up.
They probably will go down.
They will eventually, but...
Probably go down in a time frame that you're expecting. Like, maybe not in the next 6 months, maybe not in the next year.
Yeah.
But definitely we know that so far, appreciation hasn't decreased. I mean, hasn't reversed.
Yeah.
So these home prices are still going up.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They definitely are, man. I've recently got, like, I was just looking at this morning. I got a deal that's closing at the end of this month. Two deals are closing at the end of this month. And recently, I don't know if you've had this, but I've had my appraisals that I've been getting. They've actually been coming in higher. So, like, the value has been coming in higher than what the buyers are on the contract for. So that's something that.
So when we attended Cavell's monthly meeting, remember I asked you that question, like, have you been seeing, you know, appraisals either different than what the sales price is?
Yeah.
And at that time you said no, but I had been, like, I've had a few contracts that, and it's like drastic. It's either it's drastically over or drastically under. Like, I had one where the purchase, the offer amount was 385, appraisal came in at 366. Then I had another one where sales price was 210, appraisal came in at 240. So it's kind of like,
What do you think is behind that? Is it because typically when it comes to sales price or the price that the house is listed for, gets on the contract for, that's directly associated with the seller and the listing agent, right?
Correct. It's directly associated with it, but I do think that in some areas, I'm not saying in all areas, there can be situations where the appraiser goes out. The rule when you appraise a home is that it has to be, 0.5 miles within the area.
Half a mile, yeah.
Half a mile or so. They can extend it out a little bit further if there's no other property that is similar to the property that they're appraising.
Yeah.
They look at the same amount of bedrooms, the same amount of bathrooms and things like that. But here in Hampton Roads, you can buy a house, like our city lines are so weird that you can buy a house in Virginia Beach and then Chesapeake be across the street and Norfolk be down the street. And so what happens is when they're looking at those comps, if you cross over into a new city and those sales prices are different, it can change the amount of the appraised value of the home that you're valuing. And so those different areas have different values. And I'm thinking that in a situation where the house was 385 and it appraised for 366, when we reached out to the listing agent and asked, like, you know, how did you come up with this amount? She simply said she rounded up.
Interesting.
So, and she didn't round up to the nearest 10,000. She rounded up to almost 20,000.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah.
But
that's negligence. Then I mean, I don't look at that as like a trend. I think that that's more of just someone's somebody's negligence, because just the reasoning behind it.
It could be the seller. It could be the seller saying, "Well, this is what I want to sell it for."
Correct. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was asking.
That happens.
But would she have said that though? I mean, I feel like she would have said that if that was the seller's.
I don't know. She didn't say it to me.
Okay.
You know, this is just, you know.
Yeah.
He say, she say, we say.
Gotcha.
All that. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But when it comes to the appraised value, though, I have seen some difference in.
Gotcha. Oh, my phone going off.
I have seen some difference in the sales price versus the appraised value. So.
Gotcha.
Just got to be careful, man. Gotta, gotta make sure that you're really looking at those comps and determining your value.
Yeah. 100%. I'm with you on that one. Something I wanted to also chat about today, kind of a little bit different direction. I know we typically, you know, stay down the mortgage side of things. We'll also talk about real estate, you know, as far as from the real estate agent or realtor perspective. But I want to also talk about, like, from a landlord's perspective, right? Or like a property manager. Sophie and I both are investors. We both have rental property. And so there's something that I wanted just to kind of talk about. That I feel like, you know, a lot of people are trying to get out there and try to become investors and, you know, trying to buy houses and have tenants in there. And, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, it's a lot that goes into it. So we want to kind of peel the onion back, I guess you could say, a little bit, and just kind of give some more information, especially about the vetting process and about the process of getting an actual tenant into the home. Because a lot of times, like, I have other people who reach out to me and ask about that process and what do I do when it comes to, you know, evaluating someone to rent one of our properties. And, you know, we do a pretty strong, I mean, it's funny, I would say we do more of a vetting process, you know, on that side than what as a mortgage loan officer that we do. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, as a mortgage loan officer, we pull credit, you know, we look at for pay stubs and all that. So we do a lot of those similar processes. But, you know, actually, I do background checks too.
Me too.
You know, and so that's something that,
mortgage,
you know, on the mortgage side.
Required.
Yeah, background check is not required, but that's something that I require when it comes to someone renting our property.
Absolutely.
And I just want to speak to that a little bit, because I know a lot of times people are in a rush to get a tenant into their property so they can start having that mortgage paid and start maybe getting some of that passive cash flow. But you also, you know, the big thing that everybody always says, quality over quantity, right? Because, hey, you can get somebody in there because there's a demand for places to rent. You can get somebody in there that's paying, you know, maybe above what the normal rent amount is in that area. But if they're a bad tenant, that's just only going to jam you up and mess you up and cause more stress.
Absolutely.
Like, all of our rental properties, man, we have, I mean, I would say we have really good tenants. Like, most, I mean, obviously you have some, you know, unique situations, you know, here and there with people. But, you know, all of our rental properties, I have no stress with none of them. I mean, if something's wrong, we'll fix it. You know, they pay the rent on time because we went through a very thorough, you know, evaluation process up front, and that normally helps out, you know, in the later, in on the run when they're renting the property. So, you know, the big thing is, like you said, is, you know, we do background checks, which is very important. We do credit checks, which is very important as well. And we like to meet them. Yeah, we like to meet our tenants as well, like actually have conversation, you know, and figure out, because my wife, she's an HR background. So she does HR. So she kind of understands and knows, you know, how people are when you have conversations with them on paper, just some of the different key points and things that they, you know, that they look for, that they, you know, a person when you're evaluating someone and their credentials. So those are things that we look at. And I feel like, you know, not always trying to find somebody who can pay the most. Because a lot of times you'll have somebody who'll come out and say, hey, man, I'll pay you this amount. I'll give you double the rent or whatever. But they may be able to make money. But as far as like their living, their lifestyle and how they take care of property, it may not be to your liking when it comes to your property. So,
yeah. And you just never know.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. Because I came into a situation where I bought my property with tenants in there. And at the time, both of them were great. One of them, she kind of like went off the handle, and I had to deal with that. But then the new tenant that I got in there, he's been great. I mean, I do an inspection. Do you inspect your property?
No, I really don't. Yeah.
I do an inspection like once a year where I just go through and just walk the property just to make sure like they living right. Right.
Yeah.
That I don't have a hoarder, because those are hard to identify.
Correct.
That's correct. So, you know, I just walk the property. That's it. But they get along great because it's a duplex. They get along great. Every now and again, they may have to come to me about the other side, but it's all simple stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I just recently had one of my tenants reach out to me and was like, hey, next door neighbor's got the garbage can by the back door. It's getting warm outside, flies, it stinks. Mm-hmm. Can you ask them to move it?
Yeah.
That's a simple request. Yeah. Like, yeah, I can ask them. I mean, I would want that too if I lived, you know, next door and I accessed my back door all the time.
Correct.
So I understand that. And then I've had it where the other side asked about them parking in front of their walkway, you know, so easy fixes. I don't have any issues when it comes to that.
And another thing I'll jump in and chime in on is also, you know, different property types require different types of managing. Right.
Correct.
And so, you know, for me, what I also like to do with my properties that everyone doesn't necessarily do, but it's just a certain standard that I live by and that I actually, you know, implement in my properties is that, you know, I get the grass cut, right? So I don't even leave it up to the actual tenant to cut the grass. Mm-hmm. You know, I have somebody come out there and cut the grass for them, right? Mm-hmm. Because if I leave it up to them, you know, the grass could be growing, overgrown, you know, and it can have a certain appearance. And I don't want that, you know, about my property, right? So,
and I do the pest and pest control.
That was another thing I was going to say. Yep, I send, you know, every quarter, I send them out to come spray, make sure that there's no, you know, termites, there's no, you know, ants, there's no other, you know, rodents or things of that nature. And that's something that those tenants, they recognize and they see that, right? So they see that I'm actually doing that for the property. So what I've learned over my time as being a landlord is just, you know, that a lot, that almost makes them feel like they have to do better when it comes to their lifestyle, how they live in the property, because they see that from the outside, I'm actually, you know, living and managing this property to a certain standard, right? Yeah. So it kind of forces them to, you know, also want to do that as well. So, you know, just a little couple of things that we wanted to share when it comes to the property management side of things that I feel, you know, could help you, especially if you're looking to become a first time investor, or if you're an investor who has several properties and you're just wanting to see how you can kind of, you know, tweak things here and there to kind of help your supply of tenants that you have in your properties. You know, just kind of have a strong vetting process up front. Don't necessarily try to rush to get a new tenant in there. You know, make sure that you're evaluating them, you know, the right way, and have conversation with them, understand exactly what their needs are, where they're working, what's going on, what's their situation. And that'll allow you to, it may take a little bit more time, but for me, if you do all that upfront work, it always pays off in the long run, having a quality tenant in your property versus having somebody in there who pays, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You get them in there, and then every month, every couple of weeks, there's something that's always breaking. And a lot of times, at least, it's them that's breaking it, right? Correct. Or there's just like complaints, or they can't make the rent or whatever, right? You know what I mean?
But let me tell you, so I had a situation one time where, so one of my tenants gets Section 8. So she wasn't cleaning her shower. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you don't clean your grout in a shower, it gets moldy, right? Mm-hmm. So I got hit on my Section 8 inspection. Mm-hmm. But if I had to clean that, I would have charged her for it.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things that are my responsibility to fix, but there are certain things that you are responsible for. And that is cleaning your own damn shower.
Correct. Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, you know, when I told her that, hey, I can get somebody to come in there and clean it, but you're going to cover that fee.
Yeah.
She got in there and cleaned it real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you just have to make sure that you're aware that your tenants don't get over on you. Because that was one thing that I had to learn is like navigating, like, okay, I want to help. That's my personality. Like, that's the way I live by. It's like, oh, how can I help? But at the same time, I had to learn not to be taken advantage of, one. And then also I had to learn that everybody has a different living standard, and that all the things that I would want to do to that rental property is what I would want to do to my house. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I have to do it to that particular.
Correct.
That was another thing that I had to learn.
Correct. Because, I mean, ultimately, you're renting the property.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So it's not there. You know, I hate to say this, but it's the truth is there's a certain mindset that goes into, hey, I'm going to own a home and what that looks like versus, hey, I'm a renter. Because you got people who are going to be lifetime renters. That's just the fact of life.
Yeah,
right.
That
I
is
mean,
true.
That's just what it is. You know, so their mindset and how they take care of a property and what they're willing to live with and condition the property is going to be a lot less than someone who has, you know, who wants to have or who wants to own a home. Right.
Correct.
So you just got to understand that dynamic. And then something else I wanted to also mention as well, I guess when you say, when it comes to like, you know, being a landlord, is how much you charge, right? I know a lot of times, again, we, you know, we talked about trying to get the money quick and all that. Like for me, none of my properties are at the top of the market of what I can actually get the rent for, you know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty reasonable when it comes to the amount. Now, obviously I'm not, you know, robbing myself, right? Because it is, you know, a business and I do want to make money for it. But, you know, being reasonable when it comes out, especially in a situation like, because there's been a couple of properties that we have that there was, when we bought it, there was a tenant already living in there, right? So, you know, just having that conversation with them, setting those expectations about, hey, you know, we'll increase the rent, but we'll increase it, you know, gradually over time. So you can kind of prepare yourself financially each time we go about that.
Yeah, especially if they're already living there. But in this situation, when you have, like, you have somebody moving out, right? So when you have someone moving out, they've been there for a while, I'm assuming, right? So you're probably going to likely clean it up, get some new stuff in there, right? And so because you have to do something like that, now is your opportunity to increase your rent. Maybe not to the tip top. Like if the top of the budget or the market is a rental for $1,500, maybe you can make yours $1,450. But those are things that you have to take into consideration as well.
That's just me. I mean, again, my philosophy on it may be different because I know there's a lot of other people who always try to get the most that they can rent it for. So if someone's renting it for 50, let's say if there's several people in the neighborhood that's renting for 1500 and that's kind of the average, they're going to try to be the next one to go 1550 or 1600. And that's just not how my philosophy is on things when it comes to like that, because I've seen and been around where I've done those types of things. And I feel like those tenants are always the ones that I have the most issues with. So when I normally come under that amount, I can easily quickly rent it. You know, it's reasonable, you know, when it comes to the cost, because I do understand that rent costs are high right now. Right. So kind of meeting that person in the middle when it comes to, you know, what I'm willing to rent the property for and then what they're willing to pay. And I just feel like it's always just a win-win. You know what I mean? And another thing I want to bring in, too, I had a conversation with an agent. This was a it might have been even last week. I think maybe over the weekend. And it kind of just comes to like when you're in real estate, right? And just the mindset of a win-win, right? A lot of times when you have two sides of a transaction. So a lot of times in real estate, there's a seller and a buyer, right? Even when we just talked about it, there's a landlord and a tenant, right? Trying to figure out what the win-win in a situation is, I think is very important. A lot of times people feel like they have to win and the other person has to lose. And just that mindset a lot of times could get you in trouble. You know what I mean? And then also it could put you in a disadvantage as well. But looking at a situation from, you know, when you're dealing with real estate as a win-win, like understanding that other person, what they're trying to accomplish, understanding what you're trying to accomplish and kind of trying to find a common ground to be able to have both of those needs met, I think is very, very important. A lot of times people try to, you know, hey, try to sell a house and get the most money and don't want to do this, don't want to do that, don't want to do this. They want to win and they want that other person to lose. And going about things like that, to me, again, there are people who do that and that's fine. That's their motive. That's what they want to do. I just feel like that's not the right way to do business. You know, I always try to look and see, okay, hey, what's the other person wanting? And I may not give them everything they want, right? But I may try to figure out some of the most important parts of their wants and figure out a way that we can kind of make it work from both sides. And I feel like just in real estate, just having that mindset, I feel like will allow you to be, you know, in the game longer, be an investor, do well, have less stress when you're trying to figure out the win-win in the situation. You know what I mean? And then also, you know, your name and people will want to deal with you and work with you when they know that you're reasonable when it comes to that part of it. And not always looking at a situation like, hey, I won, you lost. Like that's, we're not playing a sport. You know what I mean? It's not a winner and loser. It's like, hey, I have something you want. Let's work it out where both of us can come to a common ground that both of us feel like, hey, we gain value, we earn something in that situation, and we can move on. Yeah, it was just a conversation I had with an agent, and I thought it was pretty cool. We were just kind of going down that road. You know, they're negotiating the contract, and it's like, hey, man, every time we feel like we're dealing with one of these sellers, it always the seller's always trying to figure out, they're trying to, you know, win in this situation. They're trying to do this versus, hey, let's come to a common ground. Let's say, hey, you know, let's how we can win and you can win and everybody's happy in the ordeal. Because you don't want to have that negative, like, oh, man, like I'm getting the property I want, but I had to go through X, Y, and Z to get it. And just that negative, you know, mindset around the transaction, you know, it's not good. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I do want to switch gears a little bit. So, speaking of renovations, because you're going to be renovating your property here soon, I wanted to talk about the top five repairs that will boost your value in your property, right? So I know that a lot of us buy these homes and some of us don't know what to do with it. We're like, okay, well, you know, if I put furniture in it, it's going to increase my value. Not true.
Yeah.
If it looks pretty on the inside, you know, and your furniture looks nice, it'll increase your value. Not true. Yeah. Because when you move out, you're going to take all your stuff with you for the most part, right?
Yeah.
But the top five things that I saw when I was looking online, just kind of researching, the top five things that will increase your value is, one, a kitchen renovation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes a good kitchen. I know that when I look at properties, I always look at the kitchen, right? Yeah. That's the first thing I look at. That's where everyone gathers, right? Yep. That's where you spend a lot of your time in your home is in the kitchen. Also, bathroom renovations is something that you want to consider. Redoing the shower, bathtub, keeping up with like some of the trends that are happening within vanities, your market.
Lighting fixtures, things of that nature. Yeah.
Things like that. One that was a shocker for me was the garage door replacement. Mm-hmm. So I know that when I watch a lot of HGTV, mm-hmm. Home and Garden, I do see they talk about curb appeal. That's one of the things that they always speak on. And so the garage door, front door, things that can make your home appear a certain way on the outside, welcoming, is always something that increases your value. Another is the roof.
Yep.
The roof is a big one, right? Mm-hmm. Because if your roof goes bad, I mean, it can destroy your home, your entire home.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I seen in my neighborhood, literally right across. So where I live, there's a cul-de-sac across the street from me because I live off the main road in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so I seen like over the last 2 to 3 weeks, I seen a person getting their roof replaced.
Yeah.
And the roofs that we have in our neighborhood are pretty big. It's really unique. You got different like slopes and stuff or whatever. And so I seen them out there for like literally about 2 weeks getting their roof replaced. And then literally after they finished their roof replacement, which was like last week, is kind of when I seen, you know, not that much activity out there anymore. They put the house on the market, you know, so that's just, you know, going to show what you said as far as adding value. Like, hey, you know, they know that that's probably going to be of a concern of a potential buyer. So we're going to go ahead and address that before we even put the house on the market. And we can now say, hey, we have a brand new roof on this home, you know, and so they'll allow them to help.
And a new roof helps with insurance too. I don't know if you guys know that.
It does.
But that's one of the main questions that they ask you when you go to get insurance, homeowners insurance on your house, is how old is that roof?
Yep.
And so the newer the roof, the better policy you can get.
Yeah.
The better premium you can get.
Yeah.
The older the roof. I mean, I've seen it where, you know, you tell them, hey, it's 15 years old, and they have somebody come and ride by the property, and then all of a sudden they kick you off the homeowner's insurance because your roof just looks like crap.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that your roof is good if you own a property. And you have to make sure that and just know that it does help with value.
Correct.
One of the other things is HVAC.
Yeah.
Do you know what HVAC stands for?
Heating, ventilating, air conditioning.
Okay. Look at that. I would have gotten it if I thought about it, but I didn't put too much time into it. But yeah, your HVAC system is very important.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that your heating and cooling works properly.
Yep.
You want to make sure that. Because within heating and cooling, you have your outdoor condenser, right? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have your outdoor. I know what it is. Look, y'all, I know what it is. I just don't know what it's called. You have your outdoor condenser. You have your furnace. Mm-hmm. You have your coil that is connected to your furnace. And then you have your hot water heater.
You have your ductwork. Have your you know, just your air vents that are in the house throughout the house as well.
Insulation.
Insulation as well. So
So those are all important factors in a house as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's no particular order, right? You just have to make sure that make sure of the timing of when things were completed in the home. So if your roof is 20 years old, but your bathroom or your kitchen is 30, 40 years old, then you may want to focus on those items. But if it's in reverse, then you focus on which is older first.
Which
is out of order.
Yeah. And that's, you know, most investors who have flipped a home, you know, those are the, you know, main five areas I would say that they normally, you know, work on, right?
Correct.
You know, those are the areas that, hey, immediately get you a new kitchen, new bathrooms in the home, you know, new HVAC or, you know, a newer HVAC or service it or whatnot. And then, like you said, a roof as well. You know, those are the things that we evaluate when it comes to, hey, am I going to buy this house? And then if I do buy this house, what is it going to cost to fix those things up? Because I know that those are going to appeal to that new buyer the most.
Exactly.
So that's good. I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. I think it was important because a lot of people don't understand or know what increases the value in their property.
Correct.
I definitely need some bathroom renovations myself. But one thing at a time.
Yeah. I hear you. So far,
I've gotten new flooring downstairs. I haven't even done upstairs yet. New water heater, new HVAC, new roof, kitchen renovation. One bathroom renovation, which is the half bath. So that's simple. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't really have to do much in a half bath renovation. I'm trying to think what else I think that's pretty much it. And I've redone the yard. I don't have a new garage door. My garage door is fine. Outdoor curb appeal looks fine. It's not, you know, it's not the best, but it ain't the worst.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I would say. But yeah. So we're working on it.
Yeah. And I will say, I know during the pandemic, one of the things that I did to the house, you know, the house I live in is I did get a new front door. Mm-hmm. My garage, I have like the garage is on the side of the house. So you really don't
see it
for real. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like it's a big curb appeal thing. I do want to get new garage doors on it. But, you know, that's just something that's a preference. It's not really like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, but the front door, though, I remember, and I didn't even realize because I had bought, like, when I flip houses, I buy, like, you know, front doors or whatever. But obviously for the home that I live in, the quality, I wanted to kind of take it a step up. The type of door that I did, a Pella door, them joints was expensive. But I tell you what, I got so much compliments from our front door. Like, neighbors were like, oh, man. Like, I mean, I would just, you know, come outside and they would see, you know, they would say something about the front door, you know, people walking the dogs in the neighborhood.
So
like,
what
oh,
is
I really,
it about
really like
the door
it.
That
it's the color of the door.
Okay.
And
okay.
then also just like I guess the design of the glass on the
okay.
door as well.
Okay.
It really stands out. I remember I was like, man, I'm like, is people just gassing me? Like, you know, and then I actually drove around our neighborhood. I'm like, shoot, when you look at our neighborhood, we have a lot of nice neighborhood, not a lot of nice houses in our neighborhood, but for real, when you look at our front door, does really stand out compared to a lot of other people.
Listen,
like,
that's how you know when you own. Yeah, you're like, yeah, my front door popping, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was gassing me. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking, and there's like two other houses out in the neighborhood that have like really, really nice front doors as well. So I was like, oh, okay, all right. So
you know this conversation.
It's noticeable. No, it's
it reminds
noticeable.
Me of that one commercial when Buddy turned it into a dad, and he started wearing the high socks.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yep. Yep.
He started tucking his shirt in.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, I get it. I definitely get it. I get it. I mean, like, for me, too, it's like my yard. Like, I really pride myself, even though I don't really cut it that much no more at all. Really, honestly, I've been having one of my guys come out there and cut it. But just, like, the yard. Like, I pride myself on my yard looking really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's something that's important. I remember growing up, the neighborhood that we lived in, my dad, it's funny because he used to be like this, too, is he used to pride himself on the yard looking good as well. And so I used to do the backyard. He did the front yard because he wanted to make sure it looked a certain way. He didn't want me to mess it up.
Yeah.
And so because in our neighborhood, we was a part of HOA, just like I am is now. And they have a yard of the month. You know what I'm saying? So
they do?
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
oh,
my neighborhood.
Cool.
And also,
how many times you got yard of the month?
I haven't. Where I live now, I haven't gotten yard
of
the month.
So it ain't where you thought.
Nah, there's other. No, don't get me wrong.
I'm just playing.
No, you can say that. I mean, don't get me wrong. My yard looks really nice.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But they have some.
Oh, they got some neighborhoods that looks, I mean, some houses in my neighborhood looks ridiculous. Like, I mean, there's people that out there.
But what makes it so much better?
Just the quality of how their grass looks. Like, I mean, it looks like you can sleep, like a bed. It looks like you can sleep on it. Like, my grass looks good, too. But, I mean, there's people out there, because the neighborhood I live in is kind of
Do they mow patterns in the grass?
Yeah, I mean, it's just straight back and forth.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Yeah, nothing I would say that's, you know, I don't know.
I follow this guy online, and he specializes in grass cut design.
Okay.
So he comes and he does like slants, he does checkerboards, he does all these funky designs on grass that seem pretty cool when you watch it from an aerial view.
Top view, yeah. I mean, you just got people in my neighborhood who literally, they work on their yard every day. Like, I mean, there's like, you know, and then they design stuff. They put like certain greenery around plants and stuff that I just don't do that. You know what I mean? Like I have nice shrubberies and things. I have it trimmed up and it looks really, really nice. But like I said, there's other people who just take it a step further who I'm just not going to be able to compete with that. So as far as getting yard a month, it's just not going to happen.
Okay, you know what I mean? That's cool.
Yeah, unless they fall off, you know what I mean? So
in my neighborhood, there is no yard of the month, but we also can't, well, I guess you can opt to not use the HOA's lawn care services, but shit, the HOA that we pay, it's like $200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
If they say they're going to cut the grass, you're going to cut the damn grass. So I'm going to let you cut the grass. It may not look, it looks up to enough standard for them. So I'm satisfied with that. Yeah. I'm okay, you know.
Yeah.
It ain't like we outside anyway, like in the front yard.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'm in my yard pretty frequently. My kids love to go outside. Backyard mainly. Yeah. But we go in the front yard too sometimes as well. Just because me living off of a main road, it's not that safe.
That's how I feel. My neighborhood, I'm like, I wouldn't say I'm on the main road, like how you describe your main road. But I think
Main road, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not like, when I say main road, I ain't talking like main road. It's just when you come in the neighborhood.
That's the only way, that's the front way to get in.
Yeah, that's the front, because there's actually three different ways. Like when you first come in the neighborhood, you either go left, you go right, or you go straight. You know what I mean? So some people, you know, there's a good amount of people.
Some people don't have to go straight.
Yeah. Some people don't have to go straight. Actually, a good amount of people don't have to go straight because they can just go that direction or whatever. But the main road in my neighborhood, you know, like I said, there's a good amount of people who come through it. Right. And come past it or whatever. So I just don't want my kids to be running around and, you know. Yeah,
ball going to stream you.
Correct. Typically, we just play, you know, just basketball. And then, like, you know, we ride our bikes. Like, our little, you know, little stuff like that in the front.
Yeah. Definitely makes sense. I get that.
Yeah.
So outside of that, was there anything that you want to let the people know about in regards to real estate? And I think that was pretty much it for me. What you got coming up on for the weekend?
Weekend wise, what I got going on? Nothing for the most part. Today, just chilling. I know tomorrow, obviously, the kids got a football game tomorrow. So I'm excited for that. Saturday, one of my coworkers, Matt, his birthday was earlier this week.
Oh, and so happy birthday, Matt.
Yeah, happy birthday, Matt. His birthday was earlier this week. And so I initially had planned to go down to the Outer Banks to our house on Saturday after my son's game. But Matt, I don't know if you ever have this, but, you know, Matt's, I would say he's a good coworker of mine, friend of mine. And he's always inviting me to stuff and I never go to it because it's always like a conflict on something I've already committed to. Right. I don't know if you ever have. I feel like him specifically, like, it's just weird. Like, he's invited me, you know, birthday parties, just events, stuff for at his house, housewarming parties. And it's always something I've already committed to, you know, beforehand or whatever. So
no, that don't always happen to me.
No, that was happening to you. Okay. Yeah. I feel like he's just like, it's just
I don't
like
get
that one.
Invites.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, him specifically, I feel like every time he tries to have something, I always have some type of commitment I've already, you know, did that for or say I'm going to do for. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to push back the time that I'm going to the Outer Banks house. So I'm going to go down there Sunday. I just got to do some more like little maintenance stuff around the house or whatnot. So he's having a sweets party at his house on Saturday, which is pretty cool, pretty unique thing where I guess there's going to be a whole bunch of different sweets and, you know, desserts and stuff, which is right up my alley for anybody who knows me. I'm going to his birthday party on Saturday night. I think it's like 7 o'clock at his house.
Nice.
And then, like I said, Sunday, I'm going to wake up, drive down to the house down there at the Outer Banks and just kind of do some tidying up before we, before we have some more renters come through there. We had a renter come through there, I think it was a week or two ago. And the property management company just told us a couple of things that they said that we need to address before like the full fledged summer starts or whatnot. Right. So I'm gonna go down there and get stuff rocking and rolling. But outside of that, that's
my friends, we talked about trying to get together and go to, I guess, down there. No, maybe the Outer Banks is down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So they have sand dunes. Mm-hmm. And so I want to try that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to go sand duning, I guess, is a way.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, sand dunes is just sand. Like,
so,
what do
you mean? Like, so you can either climb.
What you're talking about? Or are you talking about?
You like, can climb the sand dunes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You can glide the sand dunes. Okay. These, like, things that you glide.
Yeah,
I know what
you're talking about. Yeah.
You can get on the four-wheeler. So yeah. I'm, you know, here for it all.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, that's big down there, man. They do that a lot down there. I haven't done that before, but that's something that they're known for down there.
Oh, you know what? There is one more thing that you were going to talk about. Fannie Mae.
Oh, yeah.
And Freddie.
Yeah, yep. I almost forgot about that. Yeah. Fannie Mae and Freddie will not count buyer agent fees as a part of their allowable interested party contribution. So that hasn't changed really at all. That was what it was beforehand.
Yeah.
But with all the different changes that are happening, I think a lot of people assume that may be something that would change alongside with how the commission is going to be, you know, put out there. But yeah, it's not going to change at all. But that is something that is of note that we wanted to make sure that folks knew.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, and the VA hasn't put anything out yet.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's another story for another day. Yeah. But thank you guys for.
Well, hold on. A couple of things I wanted to talk about because we talk about some BS, right?
Oh.
We really hadn't talked BS today.
That is true. I'm sorry.
So two things that I saw over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
One was my dude, Drizzy Drake.
Okay.
You know, there's been some, you know, beef. Yeah, I like Drake too. I wouldn't say beef, but just some. You know, some diss records that have been, you know, circulating, like him and Kendrick Lamar had gotten to, you know, Kendrick Lamar put out a track on Future's last mixtape because Future actually had another mixtape come out recently, but a mixtape he had come out a couple weeks ago. Kendrick Lamar had a diss track come out, coming at Drake and at J. Cole. And so then you had J. Cole, who actually responded,
but then
apologized after that, which he's getting a lot of heat for that. But I feel him though. I mean, I wouldn't have done it, but I mean, to each his own, right? So, you know, because he don't really feel like that's somebody that he has an issue with. So he felt like he was peer pressured into doing something like that because of just people saying, oh, man, whatever. So anyway, a lot of people waiting on Drake to respond, right? Because Kendrick has been poking at Drake for a long time. So Drake actually finally came out with a diss record, which I liked a lot. Like, it came out this past weekend. I had it going, you know, in the house, you know, listening to it. And I've driven around a couple of times to listen to it as well. I've even asked a couple of my buddies what their take was on it. And all of them, for the most part, think they like it. I got some buddies, man, who just be hating on Drake. They just don't like him. You know, they think he's corny and whack and all that. And I just, no matter what he does, that's how their opinion is going to be about him. But people who really are listening to him and being objective, they all like the track because it is pretty hot.
Yeah. Like he did with the back-to-back. Back to back's fire.
So that was one thing that I saw that came out. And then another thing was, let me see, what was his name? It was an NBA player. Oh, yeah, Jonte Porter. So that's a big thing. Jonte Porter played past tense for the Toronto Raptors. And I know a big thing that's been going on for the last couple of years is sports betting, right? I know Virginia, we're here locally, we're a legal state. I know North Carolina just recently got, you know, it was legal now. There's been, you know, acceptance of people being able to bet. A lot of people bet, you know, on basketball games, football games, all types of sporting games, right? But, you know, obviously players, they can't bet on the games, right? And they can't, like, provide information out there to try to, you know, insinuate certain things because they're a part of the game, right? So him, Jonte Porter specifically, he, I guess, was banged up, injured, not feeling the greatest, right? And this was kind of like, you know, private information, you know? And he told one of his friends about, you know, how he's not, you know, going to play very much. He's banged up or whatever. So he's going to underperform his next game. And one of his friends told a professional NBA bettor, right? And so I guess this NBA bettor betted a certain amount of money and made $1 million. And like the NBA did an investigation and found out that he was given, you know, this type of information out. And now they've banned Jonte Porter from playing in the NBA for the rest of his life, which is crazy. There's never been a ban, especially for, you know, this type of stuff.
That's crazy.
I mean, but it's a lot of money that, you know, that's being made or transferred. If you know some insight, if I know, hey, this person is not going to do well and I can put a bet out there saying, hey, their stats are going to be less than what it normally is and put a large margin on it and I have direct information from that person, you know, I can understand why that could be a big deal, but
I can understand, but it's like, damn, like you can't even have a conversation with your buddy about how you feel.
From what I understand, it wasn't just like, hey, I had a conversation. Like he was
part of
helping. He was helping them facilitate trying to make money off of this scenario. You know what I'm saying?
So it wasn't just like,
hey, man, I don't feel well. And the buddy ran with the information. Like, nah, it wasn't like that. Okay. It was like, yo, hey, you know, I'm not doing well. So you might want to do this because you can, you know, capitalize off of it.
Can you get jail time for something like that?
That I don't know. I don't know. But I've seen NFL players, they've betted on like games and they've gotten suspended. I remember Calvin Ridley recently, I think it was the year before last, he betted on like games that did not involve himself. And he didn't have like an inside information. He was just betting on games just like the free public does. But he got in trouble. He actually got suspended for, I think it was like 8 games or almost a year. Wow. Because he was doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I just, you know, I've seen other people, there's been other people who's betted and done stuff and gotten suspended, you know, indefinitely. But I've never seen somebody get suspended like forever. Like they're like, hey,
indefinitely.
They're like, we'll say, Ricky, give me my ball back. Like they took his ball. He said he can't come back no more. So it's crazy. I saw that. I thought that was pretty wild.
What I've seen in the news in regards to sports that has kind of like caught my attention, because I really don't watch sports on TV that much. If not at all, like every now and again, I might catch a game. Every now and again, I might see something. But a lot of football players, young football players, are just passing away.
Mm.
Have you seen that?
I feel like I have seen.
One passed a couple days ago.
Yeah, I feel like I seen something about a person who's getting ready for the draft and passing away. Yeah, I do feel like I have.
And it's a lot more. It has been more often than before. Like, I feel like in the past year or two, at least 10.
Oh, wow.
Of them have passed.
Oh, wow.
And they're young. They're not even elderly players. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And it's like they passed out. It happened during something that they were doing, physical activity.
Yeah.
And it's just sad to see. And it's like, okay, well, what is going on? Are they being fed something? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think people are, I don't know. I have no, you know, no.
Yeah.
Really.
Look it up.
I'll look into it. Yeah. I mean, I just know people are probably pushing themselves to the hardest they can. And maybe sometimes they push themselves too much.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know.
That could be true.
You know, because I know how the draft is. I know preparing for the draft and getting ready for, or just being a young player trying to make their way in the league. I mean, you're going to try to push yourself because you know how much money you can make. That's life changing, you know, money that you can make for you and your family. So, I mean, some people maybe just need to, I don't know, not go as hard, which I hate to say that because you want to go hard, but just maybe understanding and knowing.
Or relax sometimes, knowing when to relax. I know that they released some clip of Kobe Bryant when he was talking about, you know, how he gets up at 4 a.m. He practices from, 6 to 8 when most people don't get to the gym till 7. And
yeah, he was known for that. Yeah, he was known for doing that. I mean, he was like, he never wanted to sacrifice spending time with his family. So the thing that he would sacrifice was sleep time. You know what I'm saying? So he would go and do these workouts and stuff, you know, at the crack of dawn. So he would go to, you know, he would spend time with his family, like you said, in the evening time. And then, you know, he would just wake up before everybody else.
He would also go to the gym in the evening. So
correct.
He would go like later in the day, but he would also go. It was kind of like he did 2-hour increments or something like that.
Yep. Yep.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, people can take that video and run with it and think that they have the agility to do something like that. Not everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, you thinking like from the perspective of somebody else, you never know like what they actually do. Like he's out there probably hustling, but it's probably a lot of stuff that he's not hands on with that alleviates some of the time that he has to do things. And not everybody can do that.
Yeah. And plus what I also say is, I mean, Kobe is, you know, especially
one of the greatest.
He's one of the greatest. And then, you know, he's my favorite personally, but also he's, you know, he has a lot of money, right? So he can get is a lot of information that he probably has at his fingertips to understand what his body can and can't do.
Correct.
That. Some of these younger folks that we're talking about who haven't got to that point in their career yet, they don't have the access to know, okay, hey, I can do this. My body, this is the max that it'll do. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure Kobe's dialed into all of that. You know what I mean? So he knows how far he can push himself versus maybe some folks who are not, you know, quite there yet. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So are we done?
Yeah, we done.
We done, y'all. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at SKB_mortgage.
Yep. And you can follow me at Brian, Bryan_Royster.
All right, guys. We will see you next week.
See you next week.